Today is Monday, February 28th, 2022. This is part two of a Grand Canyon oral history interview with Ada Hatch. Ada's name is spelled A-D-A, last name H-A-T-C-H. My name is Tom Martin. Good morning, Ada. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. I'm great.
Wonderful. Ada, may we have your permission to record this oral history over the telephone? Thank you so much. We finished off part one. You had gotten your bachelor's and your master's at the University in Northern Arizona in Flagstaff and had taken a job in Tuba City and worked there for a little while. And that's in Northern Arizona. Tuba City is about halfway between Flagstaff and another little town called Page, Arizona.
Right.
Which you moved to, was that in 1968?
In 68, I moved up here to Page.
What can you tell me about your first recollections? Was that the first time you had gone to Page, or had you gone to Page when you were playing basketball for the Tuba City team?
No, I didn't go then, but I came up here earlier with my family in our Airstream trailer.
When was that?
Jeez.
Was that when the dam was under construction?
I did not see the dam under construction.
Okay.
So it was before that.
Oh, you mean before Page even was put on the map?
Or wait a minute. Hmm. No. No, that's wrong.
No worries.
I came up here with my family. Jeez. I guess because the lake was coming up.
Okay.
So it was after the dam was completed.
So sometime between maybe 1963 and 68?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and that would make sense because the bridge was in across the Glen Canyon there, just downstream of the dam, and you guys could have been driving either over to Kanab and Zion or the other way coming.
Yeah, well, we had specifically planned to come and see Lake Powell.
Oh, okay. Nice. What are your recollections of Page at that time? What was the city like?
Well, we were under the Bureau of Reclamation.
Okay.
And I got here about 10 years after everything started.
Okay.
And I was hired as a first grade teacher because I could speak some Navajo, and we were starting to get Navajo kids in our school.
Okay.
But when I started, I had 37 kids, and out of that, three of them were Navajo.
Wow.
But
only three.
They didn't speak English.
Okay.
And so, and my Navajo is not very good, but enough to get first graders started.
Nice. Okay. And did they pick up English fairly quickly?
Yeah, they did.
Okay. As most small children do, seem
right.
to be good with languages.
Yeah,
they
and
just
of course they were around English with the kids, you know, or the other students.
Right.
So.
Okay. What do you remember about the school, your first grade room and the building itself?
Well, we had two buildings, and I was in first grade, and there were only two first grade teachers and one kindergarten teacher, Thelma Lefevre, and she was right next to me. And I just remember her teaching and laughing all the time with the kids. I thought that was so neat.
Fun.
So.
How do you spell Thelma's last name?
L-E and capital F-E-A-V-E-R.
Thank you. So she laughed with the kids. That was great.
Yeah, yeah. She was a wonderful teacher.
I wonder if in working with the three Navajo in your first grade class, did your Navajo improve?
I don't think that much. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So Thelma was teaching kindergarten. You were in first.
I was in first grade. The other first grade teacher was Edith Bybee. Bybee is spelled B-Y-B-E-E.
Thank you. What do you remember about Edith?
We really had different methods of teaching, and the parents requested me over Edith.
Oops. Was she older?
Yes, she was, and she had three kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she would have been, her vision of teaching.
Yeah, it was quite different.
Would have been quite different from,
a fairly new teacher.
So, I've heard that the building, you know, the wind can really blow in Page.
Yes.
And I heard that the roof of this early school was like a metal or a tin roof. Does that ring a bell, or had that already been replaced by the time you got there?
I don't remember a tin roof. I do remember the wind, though.
Okay.
And looking out the window and, you know, it was just red sand blowing by.
This person had told me that when the wind got to blowing, you couldn't really hear real well, and so everybody just got to reading, and it was kind of a day off. And
yeah.
I thought, does that ring a bell with you?
No, I don't remember anything like
that. That might have been before you got there, maybe in an earlier building.
Yeah.
What was your housing like?
Well, I lived in the teacher apartments, and they were $25 a month to rent, but all utilities were paid and all maintenance was done. You know, the grass was watered and cut and everything, and there were three or four rows of teacher apartments with about five apartments in each row.
Okay.
And they were filled because, you know, they needed a place to house teachers.
Okay. Was the school kindergarten through 12th grade?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm assuming that the town at that time, you know, would have been only, you know, 10 years old and fairly new.
Yeah, it was. It was a new town. And when I got here, the population was only 2,000 people.
Okay.
Because the dam had been completed and those workers and all had gone. And the Bureau of Reclamation houses that were built to house the builders of the dam were empty.
Okay.
And those bureau houses were selling for $11,000 to $12,000.
Wow, okay.
And they had a garage and three bedrooms, two baths, and now they're selling for, well, I don't even know now, but way over $150,000.
Sure. And of course, some of that's going to be inflation in there, but that was probably a pretty good deal for the time.
And they told my dad when I moved up, they said, if you want to invest in something, buy some of these bureau houses.
Oh my gosh, then did he?
He didn't.
Okay.
But we probably should have for sure.
I suppose, yeah. Got them when there was a chance to do that. So early Page had a lot of mobile homes.
Right.
Had those been replaced then by the time you came with actual...
No, there were still a lot of trailers here.
Okay. Were they empty?
I don't remember them being empty. People that stayed on were living in them.
Okay. All right. What else do you remember about the town?
Well, we had... Bash's was our grocery store, and in Bash's, one part were the foods and all, and the other part was hardware and just like a variety store of things.
Okay.
We had, I think, two gas stations.
Okay. Did you have a clothing or apparel store?
Well, that was part of Bash's.
Okay. So it was sort of the general store.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. And I'm assuming if you needed anything above and beyond that, you would have to go to Flagstaff.
That's correct.
Okay. And the road to Flagstaff had been paved by then, had been made from the gap north.
Yeah, it was all paved when I got here.
And connected, actually, it wouldn't the gap, it was Bitter Springs, isn't it, where the road peeled off from Highway 89 to go up through the cut?
Up through the cut, yeah.
And then off straight on over to Page. Okay. And that would have been, what, a 2.5 hour drive, 3 hour drive into Flagstaff?
To get to Flagstaff?
Yeah.
It was 3 to 3.5 hours.
Okay. Would you come into Flagstaff to shop every, month or so? How did that work for you?
No. I belong to this International Delta Kappa Gamma Educational Sorority, and we would have a meeting in Flagstaff once a month.
Okay.
So I'd go down for the meeting, and I would shop then.
Great.
But I never made a specific trip just to shop.
Okay. Did you stay playing basketball at that time?
No.
Okay.
I didn't, not when I was here in Page.
Was the you mentioned a little bit about the some of the issues that were happening at Tuba City. Was Page having sort of similar issues, or were they different?
They were different. They didn't seem to have. To me, Tuba, as I mentioned before, you either were an athletic, you were in sports, or you were drinking.
Okay.
And Page was much different.
I'm assuming Page would have had its drinkers, but I don't know, were they a little less or more hidden, or what do you think?
Well, I would say less.
Okay.
We had the Windy Mesa, and that was a beer or, an alcohol place where people would go.
It was a bar then.
Yeah, it was a bar.
What a good name.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Did they have food there as well? Okay. Where would you go to eat if you wanted to go out to eat, or did anybody even do that?
Yes, the steakhouse was open,
Okay.
and then of course the Pink Sands, which was it's later became RD's, and it's still RD's, but I knew the Pink Sands owners really well, and later Lilith Larson, her husband, she and her husband own the Pink Sands, and Lilith taught first grade later with me, and I got to know her really well, and she really was a good teacher and gave me a lot of good ideas in the field of teaching.
Nice. And how do you spell Lilith's?
Lilith is Lilith
Thank you.
Larson, Larson.
And do you remember her husband's name?
Yes, Leo.
Leo.
Yep.
Okay. What do you remember about the Larsons?
Sold a lot of homemade candy, and they had big, great big copper bowls that they would mix this candy in. And then their son was also Leo Larson, and he moved. He was my neighbor, our neighbor, when Jim and I built this passive solar house. He lived right below us.
Okay.
And later, and he had when you're short of, well, you don't have diabetes,
Okay.
and he ended up passing away, and his son now lives there, Scott Larson. So I've been neighbors of the Larsons for years.
For decades.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. And so what do you remember about Leo Senior and Lilith, who taught you quite a bit about, or some things about teaching, some
Yeah,
ideas?
well, Lilith was a teacher over in Cedar City, and she
Ah.
was a supervising teacher.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's where she picked up her teaching. And they were some of the first people here with Pink Sands.
What was the Pink Sands? Was it a restaurant or a store?
Well, it was a drive-through, but you could go in and eat also.
Okay.
That's right on the main drag.
So, burgers kind of thing, burgers
Yeah,
and shakes and fries.
burgers and shakes and
Okay. Nice. Was there another restaurant like that in town?
not at the beginning.
Okay. So there was a steakhouse and there was the Pink Sands
Yeah.
and the Windy Mesa.
Right.
What else do you remember for stores that were there in town?
Well, there was a shoe store, and Grant Jones, and his wife owned that shoe store.
Gosh, I'm just thinking that for 2,000 people to try to own a shoe store, there wouldn't have been much going on.
Well, of course, he was going when the dam was being built, and there were a lot
Okay.
of people here.
Yeah.
So,
That would have been a lot of, construction
yeah.
shoes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that would make sense. Did they do, were they just shoes or did they do clothing as well?
No, I think he just had shoes.
Okay. All right.
A person to interview that would really be good about the early history of Paige is Sharon Buck, because she grew up here
Okay.
and her dad owned or ran Bash's, the grocery store.
Ah, okay.
And Sharon is still here, Sharon and Dick Buck.
Okay.
And but she remembers the early days and going to school here.
Okay. Did you teach her?
No.
Okay. So she would have been a little older.
Well, she's younger than I am. Well, we're about the same age.
Okay.
But anyway, I could give you her number if I could.
Yeah, after we're done, it'd be great
Yeah,
if I could,
okay.
get that number.
Yeah,
That
okay.
I'll put a note here about that. That would be great. Did you eventually start exploring out on Lake Powell there?
Oh, yes. I was out on the lake all the time. I had my little boat called the Forward Hatch because it had a front hatch. And every weekend I was out on the lake, and I had lots of company come to visit me, and I'd take them out on the lake. And I said, you know, I thought I was only going to be here 1 year,
Okay.
but then I said, well, I'm going to be here till I see every canyon.
Oh
And
my.
I'm still finding canyons, hiking with the happy hikers, and
Okay.
things to see and do.
When did you get the forward hatch, the SS forward hatch?
Yeah. It was my dad's boat,
Ah.
and he brought it up here because we had this lake. And then later, he bought an Evinrude boat. And that was called the S Cape Hatch, S and then CAPE Hatch. And it had a hatch too. But I had two boats up here. I really ran the forward hatch because it had an outboard motor, and I carried O-rings and all for the outboard in my wallet. But the escape hatch was an inboard outboard,
Okay.
and so when my parents came up and all, we'd go out in that boat. But mainly, I use the escape hatch.
So I'm just thinking about this. Your dad had a boat and he lived in 29 Palms.
Yeah.
Where did he boat in
Well, we would
29 Palms?
go over to the Colorado River
Okay.
at Lake Havasu.
All right. Sure. Okay. That makes sense. The forward hatch, was that like an aluminum
Well, it
hull?
was a little yellow fiberglass
Huh.
boat with a 35 outboard
Ooh.
Johnson motor on the back of it.
So it could get up and get going.
Yeah.
And when did you get that boat? When did you get your first, was that the first year you were there in
Yeah,
68?
when I moved up here and lived in
Okay.
the teacher apartments, that boat was parked right in front. I was in the first of the teacher apartments,
Okay.
and it was parked right out front.
With a sign that said for sale on it, I'm thinking maybe.
No, I kept that boat for a long
Well,
time.
no. When you bought it, did you buy it there in Page?
Oh, no, Dad bought it in
Okay.
29 Palms.
I'm
He brought
sorry.
it up
All
when
right.
I.
So your dad ended up supplying you with a Navy. He brought you two boats. Okay.
But it was really, everybody knew me because of my boats, and I would run them in and get them checked over often before I'd go out on the lake on the weekend.
Okay.
And I bought a plastic prop, and it was guaranteed. And every time I'd go on the lake, because the lake was coming up, there was a lot of floating debris, and no matter how hard I tried, I would be forever hitting that prop with floating stuff that
sure.
would wrinkle it, and I would take in and get a new prop all the time. And they just had a fit because they were having to replace this prop of mine. But the guys at the boat works had a bet on me, and two of them said, no, I would just lift the forward hatch off and leave it. And the other said, no, she cranks it up and leaves it. Well, it would depended on which boat I had, you know, whether I just lift it off or whether I'd, the escape hatch, I'd have to crank it off.
Right. Yeah, because it would have been a much bigger boat.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And it what did it have an inboard V8? What was the drive for that?
Yeah, it was an inboard. And one of the times I was up lake with the dog, and the dog got hit with porcupine.
Ooh.
And so I pulled the boat out, and there was no vet or anything here, and so we took her home and had to pull these quills out of her, and I forgot to drain the boat, and it froze.
Oh.
And so that's how I originally met my husband, is he came over, and he said that he had a friend that had a new engine that he could put in my boat, and I said, only if I can work right with you so I can learn how to use this boat with the inboard outboard engine.
Nice.
And so.
So, what was Jim's last name?
Merrill. Merrill.
Okay. And where was he from?
Well, he grew up in Globe, Arizona.
Okay.
And
that's a mining town.
Yes, it is. And he first worked down there in the mines. His father was in the mines.
Okay.
And when he came here to Page, he was married, and his wife Shirley was the speech teacher. And so, you know, when he'd come and fix work on my boat, I would always call Shirley and say, you know, actually, everybody called him Leroy. And so I told her, Leroy's over here. I'm fixing hamburgers. Do you want to come over? And you and Leroy can have, you know, dinner with me.
Mm-hmm.
So she always knew when he was here.
Nice.
Working on my boat.
Uh-huh.
But anyway.
And how was it then? He was married. Did she pass?
Well,
did they get divorced?
She went in the summer. He went to Alaska. And he left a note and told her that. But when she came back and he was not here, she came and asked me if about Jim, and I said, or Leroy, and I said, well, how would I know? I don't have any idea where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, he was up there 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
then he got a divorce from Shirley.
Okay.
And so I went up to see him in Alaska. And when he moved back to Page, he pulled the boat and everything, and I went with him back down here to Page. And then it was, he had proposed to me, and I said no for two reasons. Mainly, I was a super happy, happy person.
Mm-hmm.
Jim's the only person I've ever loved, but I couldn't imagine a happier life. And he was 10 years older than I was,
okay,
which really concerned me. Plus, Shirley was his second wife.
Okay.
So I would have been wife number three.
Right.
And so I told him the reasons. I said, you're so much older than I am, and I am so happy. He said, Ada, marriage, there are so many things partners can do together to make life easier.
Mm.
But anyway, after 2 years, I said yes, and we were married in 1977.
So he kind of wore you down.
And I was single 35 years, married to Jim 35 years. He passed away in 19, just a minute, let me look on his.
Okay.
He passed away in 2012.
Okay.
So now I'm on my third 35 years, and it's pretty darn good, too.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that he passed away, because it sounds like you guys made it work.
Yeah, he built a wonderful passive solar house for us.
Wow.
Which I am living in now.
Nice. Very nice. And what did he do in Page?
He worked for the boat works, but then he was out at the Navajo Generating Station working in maintenance.
Okay. Were there other boat repair shops besides the boat works?
Yeah, there were a couple. Because with this new lake forming, you know, there was Canyon Boat Works and
I'd be thinking, yeah, that you know, I wouldn't want to sell shoes in Page, but selling boats, that
right.
You know, just because the number of people coming into the town,
yeah,
through the summer with boats would,
yeah,
be
right.
You know, a little more opportunity to sell spark plugs and O-rings and things
right.
like that.
Right.
That might be needed to keep boats going. So that time period from 68 to 77, before you married Jim, you had your boat. Would you be out on the lake basically every weekend,
yeah,
kind of thing?
Almost every weekend, yeah.
Okay, even in the winter?
Yes, that was the best time.
Why?
Well, because there weren't any other boats out there.
Oh, okay.
And we could take the forward hatch like to the end of Antelope, and one year it was so cold there was ice.
Wow.
So we rubbed up against the frozen end of the lake.
Nice. And would you camp out? Spend the night out there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I really knew the lake well.
I bet. And did you go fishing?
No, I never did. Although I would, every now and then I'd take fishermen out.
Okay. Okay.
In fact, we were out and a huge storm came up And we went into the floating marina, which was in it's on the way to Rainbow Bridge.
Okay.
In Bridge Canyon.
Yep.
And we ended up 3 days before we could get out and
wow.
get down back to Page. And so I didn't show up at school. And, you know, we couldn't communicate back.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
And because of the big storm, everybody really was concerned.
Yeah.
But when I came back in, you know, I said, I need to say that I missed 2 days of school. And they said, Ada, just the fact that you're home and safe is all we care about. Don't put anything down about missing school.
Mm, that's nice.
So,
well,
yeah.
I wonder about the wind can really get going.
Well, it was, and we tried. You know, somehow the big tour boat would come in, and I don't know, I can't understand how they would weather the storm to bring people up to see Rainbow Bridge, but I tried to get out following that tour boat in the wake.
Uh-huh, right.
But I couldn't, just couldn't do it. You know, it went faster than I could go, and then so we'd have to go back again and tie into the dock. Which, you know, the floating marina, then you went a little bit further and went to the dock where Rainbow Bridge was.
Okay.
And so the rangers had to get all of us off the floating marina because of the gas and concerned about the cables breaking.
Okay.
And so we all had to go and stay on the dock where you landed to hike up to Rainbow Bridge.
And just camp out there?
Yeah.
And what did you do for food?
Well, there were other houseboats, and we kind of all shared food and all.
Nice. Was that the only time you got trapped out by a storm?
Yeah, it was.
And do you still have those two boats?
I don't have either one of them.
Okay.
But I have another boat.
Did you sell them then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or basically, I gave them away.
Uh huh. Yeah, they didn't. I was. That's a polite way of saying they didn't sink, did they?
No.
Because that wind can sink boats.
Yeah, I know.
And it can
we were stuck, Jim and I and two other teachers were stuck way up the end of the Escalante, and Jim, being a marine mechanic and all, could all basically always fix whatever might have gone wrong with the boat, but this time he couldn't, and so we figured. And it was winter, it was November, so we figured somehow we're going to have to get out of you know, this arm of the Escalante. And so we were, I had two paddles, but then we used water skis, and all four of us were paddling until dark, and then we had to screw a piton into the rock to hold the boat from going back, and we spent the night, and then just at daylight we got up again and we were rowing again, and we got out into the main arm of the Escalante, and there was a boat after a couple of hours that went by, and we waved at them, and they just waved and went on.
Oh, gosh.
And so we took life jacket and threw it into the lake. And then they saw, you know, that we needed help.
Mm.
So they turned around and got us, and they towed us back. And at that time, there was no floating marina. There was dangling rope marina.
Okay.
So they towed us back there, and then we had to call in and to the schools and tell them, you know, we'd been stuck up lake because of the boat breaking down.
And that would have been a good chunk of the teacher population out there with you. Had two other teachers, three
know,
of you there.
And the bad
my.
Thing was none of us had left lesson plans.
Oh, my.
And so, but anyway, and it was funny because the school would call the other schools, and, like, they called to see if I was there, and they said, no, she hasn't come in yet. So they sort of covered for us. And then one of the secretaries went to Jean's house because she thought that something had happened. And I guess that's when they realized that three of us were out. One was the art teacher, and Jean taught fifth grade, and I taught third grade at the time.
And you must have been, like, four of you trying to sleep on that boat.
Yeah,
there wouldn't
I
have
know.
Been a lot of room there.
I know. It wasn't the greatest.
Yeah. But that's pretty good, pretty clever about throwing a life jacket in the water there to get...
Right.
To alert them.
Right, yeah.
Because there is a lot of waving going on, and, you know, as one boat passes another, and it's typical, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you've got to alert somebody that something's wrong. So,
right.
You know, how do you do that? Yeah. Yeah. But that's pretty clever, too, using your skis as paddles.
And always, whenever I take somebody new on the lake, I go over everything in the boat. Here are the life jackets.
Mm.
Here's the line. Here's a buoy that's connected to the line that you can throw out. Here's the fire extinguishers, so that everybody knows what, in case of an emergency,
mm-hmm.
what to do.
Right, which makes sense, which
yeah.
makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
What kind of boat do you have now?
It's a Sea Sport. It was built in Bellingham, Washington.
Okay.
And Jim went up, and we bought it brand new, and so.
Is it inboard or outboard?
It's a total inboard diesel.
Okay. And how long is the boat?
I think it's a 24 footer.
Okay. That's good size.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. What else do you remember about some of your early adventures boating on the lake?
Well, as the lake was coming up, we could get further and further up lake.
Okay.
And our goal was always to get to the end and get out and explore beyond the lake. So we did a lot of hiking and a lot of that.
Okay. And I'm thinking, you know, that at one point you could have gone all the way up into Narrow Canyon, way up past Old Height, and the Horn, that country, North Wash, and the Dirty
yeah,
Devil,
well,
the Fremont Arm.
We only went as far as... the end of the lake was, it was about 35 miles further up lake than Bullfrog and Hall's Crossing. Height.
Okay.
It was height. So we boated as far as height.
Okay. So not the, well, the... when people say height, I kind of back up a minute and I think, well, there's the Park Service concession ramp called Height to Height Marina.
Yeah.
And then 3 or 4 miles down lake from there is the old Height ferry that Art Chafin and the Nielsens were running, and but that would have been underwater. So when you say height, are you thinking of the ramp and the marina?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And then would you need to fuel up on your way there?
Yes, yes, definitely.
Where would you do that?
We would get gas at Hall's Crossing.
Okay.
And then we'd get it at height.
All right.
So there were basically three places, Wallweep, Hall's Crossing, and Bullfrog.
Okay.
And then Height. Those are the three places on the lake where you could get gas.
Right. Right. Did you make friends with any of the people that were at Hall's Crossing?
No, not really.
Okay. I'm thinking of Wanda and Terry Isles, would have been there, E-I-L-E-S, Cal Black was out there, and Frank Wright, that was in the early days.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just show up and get some gas and then head on out again.
Right.
Mm-hmm, okay. Was that the same for Bullfrog, that you didn't necessarily know the people there, but just, you know, got fuel if you were there?
No, mainly I just got in there for fuel.
Uh-huh.
But I went into the Escalante with these two fishermen I had, and we saw way up on the cliff Bruins, and one of the fishermen said, well, let's go up there. And I said, you know, that is really, really a steep cliff.
Mm.
But there were some hand and toe holes.
Yep.
You know, and so he says, well, I can do it. So he went ahead and used those hand and toe holes and got up there. And I thought, well, I'm a better climber than you are. So if you can do it, I'll do it too. So we went up and we looked at these ruins. It's called Three Roof Ruin.
Okay.
And actually the center one had two open entrances into it.
Hmm.
And it had roof and everything in it. And then one below it was a partial building, but it had a lot of sticks and mud. And then the one that was further north was like a kiva.
Hmm.
But when we went in there, I'm sure we were the first white people to ever get in there.
Okay.
And there were matates and some corn. And but then when we got the other fishermen stayed with the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we started to get down, it was way too steep. We just couldn't make it. And Murphy, that's his last name, he tried to throw us a line up to it, and we couldn't get it. And Jim Gagnon would not let me go down.
Hmm.
And so finally I said, you know, there's nobody that's going to come. And either we're going to be stuck up here all night, or you're going to have to let me go down and try and get a line.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I went down enough for him to throw me a line, and then I got it up to Jim, and we anchored it, and we were able to get down. But that was very scary.
I bet.
And then later they came in and the Park Service restored that three roof ruin. But they did it wrong because the middle thing, they boarded up and just had an entrance to one side.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's not right, because originally it was open on both sides.
Hmm.
The door was,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
open to enter either way. And I showed them slides of it, pictures of it.
Oh, good.
And so they went back in and changed it to where it was originally.
Nice. Good. Yeah, it's oftentimes if you don't know kind of what's there and what's going on, you know, you make some assumptions. And so it's really helpful to get photographs to go, oh, look at that,
yeah.
It was different.
Right.
Nice. Did you make friends with some of the people that work for the Park Service?
Yes, I did.
And
they
who do you think of when I who comes to mind?
Well, I was on a bowling team, and it was all Park Service.
Okay.
Except me. And
how did you guys do?
Oh, we were okay. We were in a women's bowling league.
Okay.
But Esther Salisbury and Sybil Shores was our captain. And I knew a lot of Park Service people.
Okay. How often did you do the fishing guiding? Was that?
Well, I didn't do any guiding. These were just friends.
Uh-huh.
But I'd take them out.
Got it.
And they'd fish.
And so that would be
hiking.
Yeah, that would be something you would do for decades. Is,
yeah.
You have some friends, and they're like, well, I want to fish. And you're like, great. You stay with the boat, and I'll go hiking.
Yeah, exactly.
Super. What were some of the other neat things that you discovered out there hiking in the
well,
slick rock
just,
country?
Just the beautiful formations, and the rock was so, you know, just the whole scenery and everything was gorgeous out there.
Mm. I bet. Nowadays, people are into a slot canyon, sort of canyoneering, they call it. Were you doing canyoneering, or were you trying to find routes up onto the top of the slick rock company country and then
well,
walk around on the top?
It depended. Like when from Page, we'd go out and we'd find the top of a canyon and we'd work our way down into it. But if we were on the lake, then we'd climb up the canyon until we couldn't go any further.
Got it. That makes sense.
But there was a place we call Peach Wash, and you always wore your oldest underwear because by the time you got through it and all the water, there'd be so much red dirt and everything
uh-huh.
that you'd have to throw it out.
Yeah, it would be like dyed.
Yeah, right.
How about that? Huh. Interesting. What else do you remember about boating on the lake?
I remember rescuing a lot of people.
Okay.
I always had extra gas, and I, like Stan Jones, I loaned him a paddle once. And when he returned it, he had painted it and put Ada on it and
oh.
gave it back to me.
Well, that's nice.
But
so Stan Jones wrote a bunch of guides.
Yes, he did.
To the lake. When did you first meet him?
Well, actually, my dad met him in 29 Palms. He lived in 29 Palms.
Really?
And then when he was here in Page, he worked at the post office, and I came in to get my mail, and it was general delivery until I got a box, and Hatch, and he said, "You wouldn't happen to know a Bill Hatch in 29 Palms?" I says, "Yeah, that's my father."
Huh.
And Dad sent me a file on Stan Jones. He loaned Stan some money.
Okay.
And Stan was in 29 Palms.
Okay. What else do you remember about him?
He really knew the lake.
Okay.
He was out there a lot, did a lot of mapping. His wife, Alice, was quite sick. But Stan did a lot of lake stuff. And like Gary Ladd, you know, Gary has explored and written books about the lake.
You bet.
And
yeah, Gary's last name is spelled L-A-D-D.
Correct.
Yeah. Did Stan work for the post office then?
He did, yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, when he started exploring the lake, he would make these maps and sell the maps.
Right. And they were well liked.
They were
good.
Still being sold. Steve Ward knew Stan well, and when Stan passed away, Stan left all of his information to Steve.
Okay.
And so Steve passed away just a week after Jim, my husband.
Oh, my.
But Steve's wife, Gay Ann Ward, is still producing those maps.
Okay.
And they're still on sale.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah. Of course, now the reservoir is really low.
Yeah, very low.
As low as it's been since the days when it was being filled.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, the lake was at the level when I arrived here in 68.
Oh, my.
But now it's even lower than that. And I was out there yesterday picking up, well, with the lake so low, there's stuff all over that's, you know, anchors everywhere and batteries and chairs and stuff where that it, you know, just, so I'm trying to work on getting some kind of a cleanup committee to get out there with this low lake and pull some of this stuff.
Good for you.
Out of, you know, to try to get it out.
Good for you. I think that's great. 'Cause yeah, it definitely needs to be done. Now's the time to do it.
Just lines by the Wallweep boat rentals north of that. There's just lines and lines of rope just everywhere, and anchors, you know, houseboat anchors.
Right, right, right.
And I mean everything, fishing poles.
Yeah,
you know.
All kinds of junk.
Yeah.
I'd imagine. Yeah, yeah, you bet, you bet. Well, we've been happily talking for about an hour.
Oh,
maybe this is a good time to put a comma in this interview series and call it a day for today. What do you think?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else what we've just talked about in this hour that you think should be added into this?
No, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, with that, this will conclude part two of Grand Canyon Oral History Interview with Ada Hatch. Today is Monday, February 28th, 2022. My name is Tom Martin, and Ada, thank you so very much.
You bet. Have a happy day.
You too.